Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, and good morning. Welcome to Josie's Inspiration. This is Josie Hopkins, and I am so blessed to be able to be with you today as I share a message of inspiration that I hope will touch your life and to move you toward what God is calling you to do. Last week, I talked about the storms of life, and I talked about a little bit about how there are so many storms that we are going through. And we realize that we've just gone through the hurricanes, and they're still lingering off to the coast of the east, and possibly others will come along. But, you know, for those who are in sunny days or in sunny places, it can be easy to forget about those who are still in the storm. And so this morning, as I prayed for a message to share with you, and I opened up my God's little devotional book for women, two things came to me. My message: when the storm doesn't stop. And when I opened up my book this morning, the scripture that was there is from Romans. But the topic says, you should never let adversity get you down, except on your knees. And that's really a powerful word, because adversity and storms are always going to come. And I'm sure for those who are in Puerto Rico, those who are in places in the Caribbean, those who were affected by the storms in Houston and in New Orleans and Louisiana, those who have been affected in Florida, those who are being affected by storms all around us, not just weather storms, but the storms that are confronting us as we open the news, as we walk in our home, as we turn on the TV, there is a rage of storm all around us. So when the storm doesn't stop, what do? When it seems like all is falling apart in your life, how do you stand? Where do you turn? Where do you go for direction? And this scripture says in Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to read to you the passage that comes with this particular scripture, and I haven't read it already, so I'm just trusting and following God's lead that there's going to be a word in here for you and for me. And this says, many people see abundant spring rains as a great blessing to farmers, especially if the rains come after the plants have sprouted and are several inches tall. What they don't realize is even a short drought can have a devastating effect on a crop of seedlings that have received too much rain. Why? Because during frequent rains, the young plants are not required to push their roots deeper into the soil in search of water. If a drought occurs later, plants with shallow root systems will quickly die. We often receive abundance into our lives, rich fellowship, great teaching, thorough soakings of spiritual blessings. Tragedy enters our lives. We may find ourselves thinking God has abandoned us or is unfaithful. The fact is, we have allowed our easiness, the easiness of our lives, to keep us from pushing our spiritual roots deeper. We have allowed others to spoon-fed us rather than develop our own deep personal relationship with God through prayer and study of His Word. Only the deeply rooted are able to endure hard times without wilting. The best advice is to enjoy the rain while seeking to grow even closer to Him. Wow. I'm going to read part of that again. We often receive abundance into our lives. I think as I was talking with Kayla this morning, and we were talking about, you know, just that are happening, and I'm so grateful for the Finding My Way Network to allow me to bring Josie's inspiration, because this is my purpose that was developed and was shared with me through God many years ago, Josie's inspiration. And for a number of years, I did Blog Talk. And there, if you go search, there is a Blog Talk radio for Josie's inspiration that has shows that go back quite a ways, from 2008, I think, until about 2013. And so what I understand is that we get many blessings in our lives. We get great teachings, and we get thorough soakings of spiritual blessings. And then something comes along to disrupt that. And as I spoke with Kayla this morning, and we talked about some of the disruptors that are happening in our world, I'm keenly aware that Finding My Way Network has affiliates, Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico belongs to us. It belongs to these United States. So I pray that people are not forgetting that we still have people suffering that are part of our country. But the suffering goes beyond just the United States. But we play a major role in the country and in the world here in the United States. And as Christians, as believers in God, or those who believe whatever your faith, it doesn't matter. We have a source that is greater than all the tragedies to whom we can turn. When we turn on the TV and we see language that's damaging to the people that are being used to separate God's people, when we see tragedies that are happening, man-made and not man-made, we could lose hope. We could tunnel ourselves and bury our heads in the sand and pretend none of it's happening. But ye of little faith, regain strength. We have to be believers. We have to be not just believers, but doers of the word. It started off in my reading saying you should never let adversity get you down, except on your knees. But again, on your knees. I learned as a child, and maybe many of you listening learned as a child, to get down on your knees and pray and say your prayers, to give honor to God, to praise and to thank Him for your blessings, to seek His direction. But even as I said that, except on your knees, I had a vision in my mind of all those NFL players who have been down on their knees. I have a vision of Colin Kaepernick down on his knees for what he believes in, knees, the bending effect of our knees is a submission, not to man, but to God. We need to submit to God on our knees, not for the world, but for our own spiritual strengthening. You should never let adversity get you down except on your knees. When the storm doesn't stop, you've got to get on your knees. You can't look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, solve my problem. Neighbor, help me. But we can look to our neighbor and we can link arms together with our neighbors and we can kneel for God. We can kneel in prayer and ask God to deliver his people, to touch in a mighty way who are being stricken by the storms of life, by the weather, the real storm, by personal storms, by personal tragedies. Kneel to the Almighty and give him the opportunity to help you overcome even in the midst of the storm. When I start speaking, you know, it's always amazing to me because I just sit down and I'm sitting here. I told Kayla, I'm in my praying chair this morning, which is on my back deck. It's a beautiful enclosed that I'm blessed that my husband created for me because he knows how much I love to be in nature. And I'll sit outside in the snow. I would sit outside in the rain just when I had a little deck that was not covered by anything except the trees. And so he enclosed this for me to give me a place that I could sit and enjoy and not be affected by the weather. But the weather is still here. And even though as I look out, I see the sun, I see the trees, I see the grass, I see the leaves changing, I see earth beauty all around me, I'm aware that others are waking up. They may be seeing the sun, but they may be seeing the devastation that has been left by the wind and the rain. They may be seeing the devastation from where there were lush green trees and beautiful scenery and resort areas, they're seeing devastation, dying, death, hunger, famine. We can't forget that we have to link arms. It's not our government that can save us. It is not our government that will rescue us. It is not our government that gives us peace of mind or direction for our lives. It is not our government or our president or our congressmen or our senators. They are tools. And sometimes they're tools that are used in a destructive manner as we're seeing around us. But we are the people. We are the people who have been given an opportunity to link arms, to get down on our knees together and to stand, even as we kneel in prayer, to stand for something greater than ourselves. Stand for our fellow man. Stand for our rights. What we know God is calling us to do. I believe we all have a call on our lives. From the day that we're born, there's a purpose that's been placed on us. Maybe we've been diverted, and we think that we've lost our way. But the path that you're on may not seem to be a smooth one. It may not seem to be a straight one. It's taken us through some bumpy roads, but all of those pathways, all of those roads that we've been on, the journey that we continue to be on has a purpose. Bemoaning the trials and the tribulations that you experience, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in the tragedy for an awakening. There is an awakening happening, and it's calling us to pay attention, to pay attention to God's messages that he has for our lives. When I look back at Romans and Romans 8, it talks about how we are able to see ourselves in the flesh and see that the flesh can deter us from the godliness in us. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. We enjoy so many privileges in this country, and it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get caught up in the abundance of our lives, in the things that give us immediate gratification. We're washed away or blown away. And when they are, what do you have when the storms don't stop? What are you left with when the rains continue to pour? What do you hold on to when the winds of life blow so torrentially that, oh my God, all you can do is call on his name? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I don't know anyone who's sitting around and saying, well, I'm ready to die. Lord, take me home now. Possibly those who have weathered enough storms and have seen the glory of God in the midst of the storm, are able to acknowledge that there is something better beyond this life. But for many of us, or for those, and I'll just say for me, while I know that God has a greater purpose, while I believe that there is a life that God has for me beyond this earthly life, that there is something greater beyond my present right now, I'm not ready to give it up and say, okay, you know what, I'm done. Lord, take me home. What I am willing to say is, God, use me as an instrument. Use me as an inspiration. Use me in the way that you would have me do the work that you're calling me to do. Scary. Because when God puts something on your heart, you don't always know the path that it's going to lead you. You know, I told Kayla that in being on Finding My Way Radio and being introduced to her, I was being open to God to use me. I know there have been many times that God has shown me a glimpse of a direction or something that he has for me, and I jump out ahead and I say, okay, God, I know what it is. I'm going to go run and do it right now. Who's done that before? You know, that's the childlike behavior. Children, we're ready to run before we can walk. We're ready to fly, to soar into new things. But we haven't been grounded yet. And so, like those plants, like those crops that have been planted, if our seedlings have not been rooted deeply in our faith, if we have not been rooted, if we're not staying in His Word and staying in His presence, then when those winds and storms of life come, we're going to be blown and tossed about, just like leaves, just like unrooted seedlings. So I believe as we mature, we're rooted, because we've seen some things. We've felt some storms. We've experienced some trials and tribulations that have shown us on the other side that God is still faithful, that God still blesses us, that He brings us through the storms, even when it appears the storms don't stop. Maybe it's not a rainstorm. Maybe it's the wind. Maybe it's not a nature storm. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's not a storm for you personally, but maybe it's your family raging in all of our lives. So we've got to stay rooted in God. We've got to stay firmly planted in His Word and in His message. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Strengthen your roots. Find that quiet time that you can listen for His message and for His Word. He's trying to give us a message, but we have to be still. We have to be willing to hear Him and not be afraid. Fear not, because He's not a God who's placed us here to be afraid, but to revere Him and to revel in His mercy and to endure, not grudgingly, but thankfully and gratefully, because He gives us hope for times such as these. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even with ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Perseverance comes to those who are strong. So persevere, my loved ones. The storm hasn't stopped, and the storm continues to rage. I'm Josie Hopkins, and I pray that you will not let adversity get you down, except on your knees. God has a message for you, and His everlasting love is always present. And I pray for peace and healing for our country and for our world as God chooses to work a blessing and miracle in our lives. Be blessed until I come back in 2 weeks. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Grace and peace to the listeners out there. Grace and peace to my friends in America, South Africa, and other parts of the world. We're still going to continue under the subject, we are living in a sinful world. This is your host, Apostle Vusi, coming live from South Africa. We're just closing off this subject. You remember last time I spoke about what is happening in the world, that these are the end times that we're living in. That's why the world is so sick. And I even give you an illustration of how long are the seven times, which we derived from the book of Daniel chapter 4. But before we continue with the subject, I want us to pray and do a scripture declaration as usual. If I was a worshiper, I'll first worship. Now I'm not gifted vocally, so, well, I know my wife will do justice on that. Unfortunately, she's not here with me. Let's just open the book of Joshua 1:8 and read it as you own it, as you say it, from your heart, from your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night, so that I may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody listening, say amen and amen. Amen. Now, we're continuing under that subject. And the last time where I ended where I was talking about the simultaneous fulfillment of all these prophecies. And I gave you a scripture. Now, most of the time, I hear someone say in despair, what is this world coming to? And my answer on my mind is doomsday, or the end is near. That's what comes to my mind all the time, that the end is near. The signs are there. You know, people, they celebrate when they see these blood moons. They celebrate, you know, the pagan religions. They just celebrate anything. You can see that people are moving away, bit by bit, away from God. They don't believe in God anymore. They don't believe in these prophets. They don't believe in this, the pastors, the people that he has sent to preach the way. It's just because ministry itself has been tainted, if I may put it that way, with a lot of false prophecy. There's a lot of false pastors, false apostles, false evangelists, people that are after money, after material things, that are not after God. They even use women in the ministry. They use python spirits. They use water spirits. They use a lot of things, you know, to entice the people of God. And there's a lot of victims out there. We've got cases here in South Africa whereby a pastor a foreign pastor raped and used women. We've got women who are testifying, telling a lot of stories about what pastors do to them. I'm not talking about the real pastors now. I'm talking about the false pastors. You know, my spiritual father, Bishop Sedley, one day went to, he said, because he's sitting under the umbrella FBO, faith-based organization, and he said one day they went to, because they heard about this church whereby there was a prophet who would make women just masturbate. You know, during the church service, and he said it was part of spiritual, whatever that he called it. So they decided with the cops and the, some of the pastors to go and investigate what was going on. It was in Boksburg, in Gauteng, Johannesburg, in South Africa. And they went there, and they sat right at the back, and they were not wearing uniforms. They were not. They just came as civilians to attend a church service, and it was a midweek service. And there's something that pastor says, that when he says it, these people will start manifesting. And as they doing that sort of those ugly stuff that they're busy doing there, he'll be laying on top of them at his back, you know, as if he's enjoying it. And they started recording it. They recorded, and then after the church, before even the church ended, the service ended, they intervened and stopped the whole service. And they told that pastor that this is who we are. These are Metropolis. We are the pastors from, some of us, we come from the faith-based organization. This is what we're doing. It's wrong. And they put an end to what he was doing, and he was given a warning. But my question was, why didn't you just close the church? You know, because that's where God is not there. It's not there. It's not there. You know, I don't know how the case ended, but then they attended to that, and it grieved my spirit. And I said, what has this world come to? You know the kind of thought I'm talking about. Statistics show that kids are more sexualized than now than ever. That 70% of kids will have sex before graduating high school, even college. A new report says that 45% of Americans think that God wants them to be happy more than anything else. It's not me. Don't say that Apostle Vusi said this. This is just a research that I did. This is what I found on the internet, and I'm just sharing. A new poll report shows that church attendance is at the lowest mark in 20 years. Studies show now indicate that the current presidential administration in America is the most anti-Christian administration of the modern era. This I found on the internet, people of God. Don't say Apostle who said this. You can Google if you want. Google is our friend. You can just go there, research, do your own research. It's always good to do your own research. That's why they say you need to test the spirit. Always have to test the spirit, if someone is called or not. When we hear these kinds of reports and stats, our gut instinct can be to throw our hands up in despair, hold our heads, panic, or be disgusted. We're shocked at the behavioral of young people these days, shocked at the levels of immorality at universities and schools, shocked at the apathy of people towards spiritual things, shocked at the spike of same-sex marriages, shocked at the increase in sexual promiscuity in our culture. What is this world coming into? What is this world coming into? and everyone is asking themselves the same question. The simple reality is that we live in a godless world. Of course, I don't mean that there isn't a God or that the true and living God is not active in our world. I mean that the natural state of every person is wickedness, godlessness, and evil. It has always been this way, and it will always be this way. Genesis 6:5, God looked down on earth and was grieved by what he saw. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When he looked at what he created, it grieved him. It made him angry. And I guess where he's sitting, you know, it's just that mercy, because of his tender mercies. You know, God forgives us. But when he looks at us, he said, he's asking himself, what did I create? Why are these people not listening? Excuse me. Even in the days of Noah, that's what happened. God brought the great flood upon the earth because the wickedness of man was great. But don't despair. The good news is that in spite of wickedness which fills the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue saving sinners, no matter what. It will continue saving sinners, whether they like it or not. They'll be saved by us preaching the real gospel of God, not mixing it with water, oil, not mixing it with water spirits and snake spirits and what. People will be saved and only be saved when we preach the word of God. And we should stop listening to what the world is telling us and preach what the Holy Spirit is saying, because it's important. Most of us, we want to make people happy with our sermons. We preach feel-good sermons. We preach motivations. We don't preach the word of God. We don't tell people the truth. We don't make people repent. We don't tell people that this is wrong. This is not how God created us. We don't bring people back to God. And as pastors, excuse me, pastors, we're not united. We're divided. We're not speaking in one unison. The example that when the Holy Spirit came to those apostles, they were in one room, they spoke different languages, but the Holy Spirit was one operating in them. They were one, they were together, but the Spirit of God was operating in them, even though they were speaking in different tongues. It's fine, we can have different cultures, different backgrounds, and coming from different cities and different worlds, but we need to speak the same language of God, the same language of God. Don't be coming in another part of the world and bring something to our country that we don't know, or to take something from here, and when you go there, you become something else. And they ask you, oh, okay, this is how they worship God in South Africa. Oh, this is how they worship God in America. You know, we need to be one. We need to speak the same language. We need to be united. If I may be blunt, most of these false prophets and false pastors and apostles and evangelists and teachers, they are not after God's heart. They are not after preaching the good news and taking the good news to the poor. They're just after money. They're just after many things and destroying what God has actually created. And they just want that thing to be over and destroyed. It's painful when you see it happening, where people, they make people to rise up, dead people to rise up. It happened only in the times of Jesus, and the last person who did that was Paul, as far as I remember. I don't remember seeing or hearing about that. Not that it's not supposed to happen, but the way it happened, I don't want to say names, but people know what I'm talking about. They saw it in the internet, they saw it in the news, and I was saying, what is this? What in the hell? What is this? You know, yes, we want people to see the miracles that God is working. You can speak the word of God right now and read it, and it will just hit someone. It will just heal someone. It will just change someone. It will just deliver someone. People just want to hear the word of God. Jesus said, go unto the nations and preach the word. Preach the word. He never spoke about the miracles. He never spoke about, because those signs and wonders are followed by the word of God. They follow the word of God. When the word is spoken, things start happening. Even the devil himself hates the word of God, and he knows it very well that it has so much power. We don't need people to recreate the word of God and do otherwise. We want the word of God to be preached to people so that people may be saved and be changed and repent. That's what we need, so that our world can be a better place to live in. You know, sometimes you feel like you can have an escape tunnel where you can escape and go straight to heaven and wherever and have peace, because whatever that is happening in the world right now, no, it's heart-wrenching, it's stressful, it's you know, you feel like migrating sometimes. If I can leave South Africa and go, maybe there it's better. But it is the same. Even you can, you'll always hear bad news, you'll always find racists, you'll always find murderers, you'll always find prostitutes, you'll always find clubs that promote sexual violence to women and children. You'll find wars there, you'll find haters there. It's just everywhere. This thing is just everywhere. That spirit of those powers and principalities, they've taken over, because our nation is not praying. The world is not praying. It's not praying. Great revival is yet to come, but we haven't seen it yet. But it's coming. And God is rising. Is raising the true sons and daughters that will worship him in truth and in spirit. Because right now, I tend to differ. And when you preach the word of God clean as I preach it, you offend some people. People don't feel comfortable because they feel that you are taking bread from their mouth. Amen. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it shall, you know what? Whatever that happens in the world, the gates of hate, as long as you're in the sight of God, as long as you love God, as long as you are connected to God, nothing shall come against you. Because he lives inside of you. Against this rock, the gates of hell, the gates of hell will never ever prevail against you, because you have him inside of you. You know, yes, evil is powerful, but Jesus is more powerful. Yes, Satan prowls about like a roaring lion, but Jesus is a great lion slayer. Jesus encouraged Peter that the church will not be overcome and will even stand against hell itself. In closing, should we be concerned about increasing immorality in the schools and television and politics? Sure, we have to. We have to be concerned very much. And we should be praying against those things. Where appropriate, we should stand for righteousness. And of course, we should teach our children how to think biblically about the sin they will most certainly encounter. But if we are constantly outraged, disgusted, discouraged, or panicked, then we haven't come to grips with the Bible's clear description of the current world, and we are not trusting fully in our coming, conquering, reigning King, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, it is bad. Yes, it's going to get worse, but the gospel will continue to triumph. Jesus will remain on the throne, and Jesus will finally rid the world of wickedness. And he shall. We just have to trust in him. We just have to trust in him. We just have to have faith in him. We just have to know that God exists and is still alive. We just have to give ourselves to God. We just have to give our lives to God and tell ourselves that, you know what? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is coming. Are you faithful in your living? Are you trusting him? Are you doing what the Bible says you should do? Are you following his statutes and his commands? Are you living your life according to his word? Those are the questions that you need to ask yourself now. Because the world as it is bad. It is bad. No matter whether you are rich or you are poor, we are billionaire, we are zillionaire, trillionaire, or we are poor to the poorest, we all feel the same thing. We all feel the same thing. We all feel that, you know what, these are the end times. This is the sick, sinful world that we're living in, where slavery is coming back. We can see the signs of slavery coming back. Even if we don't see it manifesting in physically, but spiritually you can see that there's a change of atmosphere that is happening. Hate is on the rise. Racism is on the rise. Ooh, I feel sorry for the generation that is coming after us. And we need to pray for them. May Lord help us, Jesus. As I'm speaking about this, I'm tearful. May God help us. May God bring his people together. That's my prayer. May God unify us. May God abolish these false churches, these false prophets and false bishops and false teachers, false apostles. May he come and may his spirit raise the true sons and daughters of the kingdom that they have no fear to speak the truth. Because even when we speak the truth, we are judged. When we speak against homosexuality, we are judged. When we speak against slavery, we are judged. When you speak against your children, when you want to discipline your children, you are judged. You know, but I pray that all of us, as the servants of God, we may have that heart of a lion. We shouldn't be fearful of anything. Rather die in Christ than die for the things of the world. Rather be killed for Christ like Thomas. When he went to preach, he was stoned. It's fine. But at least they've had it. Even if they can kill you, but they've had it. Not kill you spiritually, physically kill you. But they've had the word. That's what we need. The people that have that heart of God, that spirit of God, that fire of God. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Because even churches, in some churches, you can't find it anymore. It's like circus. You know, even the music, the worship music, the music that they sing, I don't know whether I should call it worship or I should call it the dance music. And the way they dance, it's no longer the way we worship God. You ask yourself, these people, whom are they praising? Whom are they worshiping? You know, seeing pastors when the money is preaching that the money is thrown on the stage is walking on money, doing funny stuff. You ask yourself, what? God, help us. I want us to take just a minute to pray as we listen before I close. Let's just pray for 5 minutes, for about 1 minute, and I'm going to just release the prayer of blessings after this, and then we close the program. And I'm praying as well. Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray unto you, O Lord Jesus, that God, in these trying times, in these hard times, may your spirit rise and touch your children. As you spoke about it in the book of Amos, that Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we shall have dreams. We shall speak prophecies. We shall speak your oracles. Father, may it be so in this end times. May we see you. May we see your word manifesting in this time. We pray for the generation that is coming after us, that they may experience you as we are planting this seed of prayer for future. May it yield good results for the generation that is coming behind us. May child slavery be ended. May human trafficking end, O Lord. May your spirit take over the wars that we're experiencing end, O Lord. May our Jesus, Lord Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, our Lord and Savior, come back soon and save us from this sinful, sin-sickful world that we're living in, from this pagan world. May we not experience the difficulties and the distresses of this world that brings on your people. May we always be surrounded by your angels. May they forever be around us and camp around about us, around our families, around our children, around our lives, even when we drive in our cars, whether we walk in the malls, whether we meet people. Cover us, O Lord. Let the blood of Jesus be our covering right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As I close, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See you next time. Hopefully, you've gained something. You've been motivated, you know, with this sermon. Thank you very much for joining me, Apostle Vusi from South Africa. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to this edition of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. I am your host, Tammy Polk, your favorite lovingly annoying and dynamically different author, speaker, and coach, here to use the power of the written word to inspire, encourage, uplift, and equip you to eliminate all those excuses that you make in life and business. I am excited today because, as you guys know, I am preparing for my Mavens Who Matter virtual summit. And on today, I have another, yay, one of my speaker sponsors who got in on the project. And I'm just going to take a second or two to embarrass her really, really quick, as y'all know I am prone to do. But Melissa Perkins is a licensed educator. She has been one for more than 20 years. She is now lending her skills to help busy homeschooling parents like myself to have those extra resources that they need so that they can balance life, school, business, and everything that they have going. She has been blessed to travel and teach abroad, as well as teaching in the post-secondary arena as well. She is the founder and CEO of Blue Star Virtual Learning, and I absolutely love the topic that she is bringing to the summit, and we're going to give you a sneak peek of that today. We're going to be talking about how to build a 21st century village around your family. So, Melissa, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
It How is are we doing this
to be
morning?
With you today, Tammy. I'm wonderful.
Good. So, I only told a little bit of who you are and what you do. So if I missed anything, please do share with the people.
Oh, I didn't take you on the road. You covered everything. The only thing I would add is that it is my absolute honor and joy to serve our families. We are a global company, and we have families all around the world who we serve. And we're a little baby company. We've only been around for, we're going in our second year, but we have grown very fast. And it all started with one single mom and her child who was homeschooling. And that's how we came onto the scene.
Okay. Yes. As most of my listeners know, I am the brave homeschooling parent of three heads of hair. 16, 11, and 6. So,
you said heads
yes,
of hair.
Yeah, heads of hair. Everybody knows this. I describe my girls it in the most loving way possible. I do. So, let's get a little bit into the meat of your topic. We've always heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, but how does that look in today's times? Because when that saying originally came out, we didn't have a whole lot of the distractions, the laws, the gray areas, and things like that that we have today. So when you say building a 21st century village around your family, what does that look like today?
That's an amazing question, Tammy. Well, first of all, I think what I've come to learn as an educator is I cannot do it by myself. I require, as an educator, lots of support. So if I, as an educator, require that, and now we have a movement of parents who are deciding to educate at home, then they would need one as well. Because to really help a young learner gain the knowledge, the experiences that they need, it is best to be able to make connections with other people, other resources, bringing it into your home or bringing it into your school. So I am the educator I am today because I learned how to build networks over the years. And I'm a 22-year teacher veteran who turned CEO, and I brought that same mentality into my company. And the families that I work with, they have figured out that they don't have to do it alone. That, you know, in addition to their parents and grandparents who are helping them, their sisters, the aunties, the uncles, they also have learned to expand and bring me in and other people in. And I say 21st century because we're in the digital era. And so we are all connected via social media, via our smartphones, computers, the internet. I mean, that is a huge part of everyday life for many families. I mean, you can't go to an event and not see a child on a pad somewhere, on an iPad, playing around. So we're digital. And so what I'm trying to really work with my families and really get the message out to the public is let's really learn how to do that in a constructive way that supports families. And so that whole village philosophy, which I would say kind of comes from the beautiful motherland of Africa, the continent of Africa, and the different tribal communities there. That's the historian in me coming out. They had this belief system that a community together raises a child. And I think that that is wisdom today. And so that is something that is really dear to my heart and that is at the heart and root of Blue Star Virtual Learning.
Yes, and more people are reaching out digitally now. Nowadays, you are definitely right about that. I know as a homeschool parent, I'm a member of several different homeschooling groups on social media, and it's always because somebody wants to provide a place or provide a digital home for mm-hmm. those who are looking for their village. They're looking for their
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're looking for the people of, you know, of the same race or, you know, or if they have a child with special needs, they're looking for that community, or if they're unschoolers, if they're world schoolers, if they're road schoolers, you know, if they're in the ministry and they homeschool, if they're in the military and they homeschool, everybody is looking for their village. And because many times they're living in areas where they may be the only one of them, no matter which demographic they're looking for, they go online.
Mm-hmm.
And they will ask, you know, is there anybody out there like me? And if it is, where are you?
Exactly.
And can we talk?
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head, and I'm seeing the same thing, and it really inspires me. It warms my heart to see it, to see people really building community. It's not just a Blue Star invention. We would never be so arrogant as to think that. This has been going on well before I started my company and will continue to go on because it is, like you said, it's an organic human outreach. And what I've decided to do is in my little corner of the universe, you know, with my people, my sphere of influence is really specialize in it. So when I, you know, developed the company, at the heart of my company, I made it that we have a village. We literally call it the village, and it is open to anyone around the world. So membership in Blue Star is free. And that surprised a lot of my colleagues and fellow entrepreneurs. They were like, oh, my God, try something. And I was like, no. I think the village is not something for me that I want to monetize because it is a right. We have a right to congregate and to fellowship and to love one another. And then within our company, there are other services you can opt to get, but the focus for us at the heart of our company is this village. And it is a virtual platform that we invite people in to just be loved. And I emphasize that word love because I think that for some reason in our society and culture it's become almost an inappropriate word. You don't use it professionally. And I disagree. I think that in education especially, and if you work with families, if you work with parents, the word love is a beautiful thing to have and a beautiful thing to talk about and to specialize in. And it is a way to really help people have a sense of care, belonging, appreciation, respect. I want for families, particularly families who are choosing to privately educate their kids at home, which if you don't mind, I want to expand that definition because for some reason I think parents who their kids are in traditional school or private school or charter schools, they have been left out of the equation as private home educators. They are educating their kids at home. If you help your kids with their homework, you are a homeschooling parent as far as I'm concerned because you are helping your child learn at home. Some have the luxury of doing it full-time, and others, they have to use other resources and they have to put their kids in school for, you know, family economic reasons. But every parent, every guardian who's helping their child at home learn is a home educator to me, and they're conscious to me. They are very aware of what is happening in the educational world of their child. And what I feel as an educator is it's my responsibility to come in and be a support, to help provide encouragement. The number one thing I see with my parents is that a lot of them don't feel encouraged. Some of them feel ostracized by their families, by pulling their kids out of traditional school, or even if they're in traditional school, some of them feel isolated because the teachers there or the administrators or their neighbors or their friends and families, you know, don't really understand their kid and what they're going through. So I think it's so important that a village emerges around those families and that we provide them love, encouragement, and validation for what they're attempting to do in their lives.
And you are so right. And as an educator myself, I don't think I told you that part about me, but I have seen that battle from both sides, both mm-hmm. as, well, actually all three sides. I've seen it as a homeschool parent. I've seen it as a parent with a child in private school and also as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely understand the point that you are making. However, on my end, it was a little bit different. I actually got talked out of putting my oldest daughter into school. And it was the craziest thing for me.
Wow.
Because it seems like every avenue that I tried to get her into the traditional education system, I ran into some type of roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
We started when she was three, tried to get her into the Head Start program. They told me that I made too much.
That's common.
And I'm saying to myself, how can a parent making $6.28 an hour and only working 20 hours a week make too much? So
yep.
I thought that was crazy to me. So we tried when she was four for the state voluntary pre-K. They told me that she had to take a screening test. I said, okay, let me sign it. Tell me where to go. So someone that I knew worked in that department at the Board of Education, and when she saw my name on the list, she called me. She said, Tammy, don't bring her down here.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, why? She says, I know you. I know how you teach your baby. You bring her down here, she's going to get waitlisted.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what do you mean she's going to get waitlisted? And she says to me, the score cap on this assessment is a 75. Anybody who scores above a 75 is waitlisted.
And the kids are chosen from
those that are 75 and below.
And they should have just told people that to begin with, or something similar, so that people could understand. It is what you're describing. I hear it over and over again from my parents as well. They have so many obstacles or hurdles to just educate their children, and that's why many are taking
it
into their own hands. Yeah, they're taking it into their own hands. And I made a conscious decision to leave traditional education. I've, you know, been an adjunct professor at the university level. I've, you know, been a teacher trainer. I've worked in charters, public, you name it. And I made a conscious decision to leave it all because, A, I'm a square peg in a round hole most of the time when I'm in those institutions. And, two, because I am more excited about what's going on in the home education movement than any other movement. I think it is a national, global movement that is taking the education world by storm. I'm seeing some of the best practices, some of the best techniques, some of the most exciting projects out of this community. And I think this movement, which is really driven by women,
is one
of the most intelligent, most innovative movements on the planet. And I want to be a part of it. I decided that if I want to grow professionally, I need to be aligned to this.
Right. And the thing about it is, I told people years ago, you can say whatever you want to about homeschooling, but give it a few years, and it's going to be just as viable of an option as, you know, public, private, or charter schools are. And being on the business side, I see more entrepreneurs pulling their kids out of school.
Yes, ma'am.
I have seen so many just in the last year. They're pulling them out of daycare. They're pulling them out of Head Start. They're pulling them out at an alarming rate. One of the people that I follow on Facebook, she pulled her child out just a couple of weeks ago, and she's been sharing her journey with her and her son about just what they've been able to get done. She took him out after Labor Day, I believe, and just what they've been able to get done and how it's, you know, just been an eye-opening, you know, experience. And she reached out to me. She says, I only have one. She says, I couldn't imagine you doing it with three. And I told her, I says, I'm not an anomaly. I can connect you to ladies that's doing it with 7, 8, 10.
Honey, I signed up my second family yesterday. I signed up my second family of 6. This is my second family of 6 that are doing our Constellations program, and they're out of Atlanta. And I have another family. The other family's in D.C. The other family of 6 is led by a single mother. She's a single mom homeschooling 6 of her children and doing it well.
Yeah.
Doing it well.
And I'm glad that you said that. I'm so glad that you said what you just said, because there are a lot of single parents who feel like they cannot homeschool, and that makes me shudder, because I'm like, if you have the right plan in place, it's not impossible just because you're single.
Well, if I can just tell you one story, one sample. In Blue Star, the very first parent who, she basically helped me create the company. Her name's Medea Allen, and she's out of the D.C. metro area. She contacted me over a year ago and said, hey, you know, I want to go back to work, but I have been homeschooling my son, Falu, since he was in kindergarten, and I want to put him back in. She goes, could you help me? And that was the seed of Blue Star. We didn't exist yet. So she knew I was a licensed educator, and she said, Melissa, could you please just create his curriculum for the month, and I'll pay you. And I said, girl, no, you're my friend. I'll do it for you. No worries. I went ahead and put it together. She loved it so much, she told her friends at her co-op. And so for those who aren't familiar with co-ops, they're often groups that meet in person to parents kind of exchange talents to help educate their kids together. So she told other people in her co-op, next thing I know, Tammy, I got 10 kids. I had 10 kids, and they don't live in my state. I live in North Carolina. They live in D.C. Metro. So we had to be virtual by default because I wasn't there. And so I just get online, and she says, I use Zoom. I said, okay, I'll use Zoom too. So it's free. And so I'm sitting down, and I'm working with these kids, and I didn't even feel confident making myself a company at first because this was so out of my zone of expertise in terms of doing it virtually. I just did a beta test for the first 6 months of our existence. And next thing I know, it just blossomed from there. But to go back to that mom, she came to me because she was going back to work, and what she knew to do was make a village. She said, I cannot anymore do all the lesson planning because I'm going to be at work all day, so I'm going to outsource it to somebody else. Then to pull it off, because she's not there during the day, she was actually at a brick-and-mortar job, she reached out to a friend of hers who's homeschooling, so that her kid could go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what she did is when that mom couldn't watch him all week. So on the alternating days, she found an education, a kind of a satellite teacher who could work with him on a few subjects when he couldn't go to the parents' home. So what Medea did is she built a village. And I used her example as the model for Blue Star, you know, and that's why we call her our first star parent. She's our prototype. And that's how our company is designed. And all the parents, was so funny, all the parents who've become a part of our movement, because I kind of see what we are as a movement, not just a company, they're like her. I would dare say 90% of my moms are entrepreneurs. I don't have an exact
awesome
percentage, but I think 90% of them are entrepreneurs. And I didn't plan it. I just used her as a prototype. Well, wouldn't you know, Medea, she did go back to work, but she also had her own company for 12 years. She's in, her name of her company is Organic Soul Chef, and so she's a caterer and holistic health coach. So she's had that company for 12 years, but, you know, she wanted to buy a house in a very expensive job market. So she needed to also get a brick-and-mortar job to help make that mortgage the way she wanted. So she's an entrepreneur still, though. And in the midst of her being with Blue Star, after a year, she decided to go back to medical school. Now, she's not working for anybody. She's a full-time med student now. And she's still with Blue Star. And what that's telling me is that you can educate your child no matter what your life circumstances are. Medea does not have a partner yet, you know, but she's a single mom. She's the head of household. But she doesn't let anything stop her from educating her child. I mean, this mom who's in her same area with six children is not letting anybody stop her. And that's why the village model, I know, works. And if you Know yourself. If you know your family, you will attract the right resources that fit your lifestyle, your economic resources, and your own skill ability. You just have to know yourself, you know, and be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. And I'm loving this experience of village building with our families because they're all as different. Every family is as different as a grain of sand on the beach. And every learner, who we call our learners master students, every master student is as different as a grain of sand on the beach. None of our kids, we do customized learning plans for our children. None of them are doing the same thing. I don't care if they're the same age as someone else in our program, the same grade level. None of them are doing the same curriculum. They have a customized curriculum that's just for them. But it started, before we went to the curriculum, we had to be a village first. And so one of the things that we do in Blue Star for our village, that's a part of our free membership, is we have something called a Fun Pod. And they're wildly popular because a lot of these children, like you said at the top of our conversation, they live in places where maybe they're the only homeschool family in their neighborhood or even the only homeschool family in their town. So they don't have other kids they can socialize with and talk to easily. So we created what is called a Fun Pod, which is a virtual meetup that we have scattered throughout the week. And we get the kids online using Zoom, and they can video conference with each other over a topic, an academic topic of interest. And instead of making it homework-based and the tests and quizzes, we don't do any of that. It's pure fun. Talk about very intellectually stimulating topics. For example, we have one right now. And the kids are all into it. And they're, like, making connections between Maya Angelou and Nina Simone. And last week they were like, we want to learn more about Madam C.J. Walker. Put something together.
Right.
And so tonight at 7 p.m. I'm going to put together a special discussion topic for them. And we're going to all get together and discuss Madam C.J. Walker, you know, and her business and all that she was able to accomplish in her zeitgeist period. And they're excited about this. And this isn't something I charge people to do. This is a village. This is what villages do. And we have a good time doing
it. That is awesome. I'm going to have to stop you right there.
That's fine.
You
that's
know,
fine.
But you know what, though? It is just a teaser for the upcoming Mavens Who Matter.
Yes, it
a
is.
Virtual summit being held November 4th through the 8th. Melissa will be speaking on, where did that go?
21st Century Village.
I know, she's speaking on the 21st Century Village, and she will be speaking on Thursday, yeah. November 8th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you are interested in registering for the Mavens Who Matter Virtual Summit, all you have to do is go over to facebook.com/dynamicallydifferentASC. Go to the events tab, look for the Mavens Who Matter Summit. When you click going, it's going to send you over to Eventbrite to register, and you'll definitely want to register via Eventbrite because all of the speakers have awesome giveaways, and they will be pulling names from that list and that list only. So if you click going on Facebook and we can't find you on Eventbrite, you might miss out. So, you guys, that has been the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. Melissa, thank you so, so much.
Aww.
I'm extremely excited that you were able to get on, and I can't wait for your talk for the summit. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me, Tammy. Can't wait to see you guys.
Right, and you know, you guys know I dare not end my show without thanking two very special people. Kayla Padgett, our founder and CEO, God bless you. We are still praying for you and your family. During this time, we are just praying that God will continue to give you strength as you endure, and to your team as well. And also to Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into having this radio show in the first place. Thank you so much for your continued support of me, my mission, and my message. I would not be here had you not made that phone call. And always, guys, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging, and I'll see you next time with another speaker sponsor for the Mavens Who Matter Virtual Summit. Have a great one, guys.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.